who are converted, who are born again, we ought to share some of these principles that we find in Lydia's great conversion experience. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read it. Let's see where we're at. Lydia's found in Acts 16, verses 9 through 15. Really a remarkable and a miraculous story here of all that happened. Let's read 9 through 15. Amen. It says in verse number 9, it says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, in front of Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted there. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worship God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Precious Lord, thank you.
Thank you
for the word of God. Thank you for the plan of salvation. Thank you for giving us today, Father God, a great music, great prayer, great scripture. Preparing us, Father God, and making us a little more attentive. Preparing our hearts to hear the word of God. Now, Father God, there may be some here that have a closed heart. Barriers and things in front of us, Father God. We need our hearts open to hear from you, to do what you would call us to do. Father, touch a heart today. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. When I look at a story like Lydia's conversion, I remember being in high school, we would have most likely to succeed. Anybody remember that? They still do that, or I'm just old school like that. Most likely to succeed. That would always be the smartest people in the class, you know. Folks like probably Sharon and, yeah, I pick on her a lot. Shirley, smart, wasn't me. They had another class. They didn't call it most likely to not succeed. They didn't name it that. It was a little different. They just called it a class clown.
Amen.
That was code for most likely to not succeed.
Amen.
Lydia, as I read the story over and over, I just don't believe that she was the most likely woman of that group to succeed, to be saved, to be converted. As I read more and more, I just don't think she was. I think there was some alarm in there. I think there was some surprise there when Lydia was converted. And you get some time, read the story of Lydia. I don't think she was the one that if you would ask anybody on that island who is the most likely to be converted, Lydia probably was the last on the list. Paul was a great missionary. He had a great team. That's why I love the folks God has added to this church, and I love the folks that keep me accountable. I really do. I think that's important. I think a pastor that's not accountable, that doesn't have people around him to hold him accountable, is a bad pastor. I just believe that. Here's Paul in verse 9. Look at the accountability. We're going to go through this. We're going to talk about Lydia's heart surgery, Lydia's heart being open. But it says in verse 9, let's bring this in the context of what was happening. Paul in verse number 6, he was forbidden by the Holy Ghost to go into Asia. That's where Paul wanted to go. In verse number 9, after he was denied to go to Asia to preach, it says a vision appeared to Paul, verse number 9, in the night. Mm-hmm. Not a dream, a vision. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Apostle Paul, heard about you. We know you're a great missionary. We know you're a great man come from God. We know you're planting churches all over. Come over to Macedonia and help us. And help us. Macedonia, if we go down a little further, was a free city. It was a colony. It was occupied by Roman soldiers that were retired. So it was probably a town full of, well, all you gotta do is read Romans 1, we did it last week, full of prostitution, drunkenness, all types of debauchery. And there was a remnant of folks there. And this man from Macedonia came and asked Paul to help us. And that word, help us, is please. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's crying out. This is not, come over and help us. They're in trouble. Yeah. And they need help, but they don't need any kind of help. Okay? They're not asking them to start a program. Okay? Or they need Obamacare in the city. You know, folks don't have health insurance or they need another free clinic or something. They're not asking for that. They need help from the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
They need help from the Lord, and they come to Paul. And when I look at verse number 10, I think about a lot of things in verse number 10. Because Paul got the vision, came to Paul personally. And look at verse 10. And it says, after he had seen the vision. See, some folks get a vision and they won't line that vision up, or they won't share that vision. And I heard people say, well, you can't share your vision with everybody because some folks don't share. But when you got some Holy Spirit filled folks around you, you can share that vision. Mm-hmm. And really, you want to make sure that vision is lining up. And if you got folks around you,
amen.
Okay? That are right with God, that are right relationship with God, you share that vision.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is what's happening here in Luke, the writer of Acts, is saying, and after he has seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. They made plans, they discussed this, they discussed their plan of action. I think this is important. Assuredly, and this is after discussion. They had a business meeting. Talked about this. This wasn't some, you know, impromptu thing.
Mm-hmm.
A spur of the moment trip.
Right. Yeah.
Okay? Assuredly, gathering that the Lord had called us.
Yeah.
I hope y'all getting all that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I hope y'all getting it all that. Paul had shared this vision with his confidants. And they have examined this vision based on scripture. They probably prayed over this vision and made sure that they were in the will of God. And it says that It says that they gathered that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And that's what they were going to do. That's what they were going to do. Preach the gospel. Now, I get some other stuff come across my desk. I got some things in the mail today, and I know some of y'all get into that stuff. I got this letter. It says, after you've given the altar call, now watch out for 7 mistakes. It says the 7 mistakes. I'm not going to elaborate on it. It says, after you give the altar call, now this is the main part in this. After you give the altar call, you know, if the gospel word preached to you don't move you, then you're not going to move. Okay, so what this writer is saying is we have to get people to come down to the front and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. First mistake, let people stay in their seats. You don't want people to stay in their seats, you want to get them up. Get them up moving. Make people do business with God in front of everybody. Here's the third mistake. We only have a few counselors available. You gotta have folks up here to counsel folks. Fourth mistake the church make when you got there. I didn't preach, I didn't get y'all business. I didn't preach. Y'all need to be getting saved up in here. He said, use untrained and unprepared counselors. Folks that don't know where to stand and how to explain the gospel and all the rules of confidentiality. Fifth mistake, counselors who talk too much. Counselors who focus on symptoms, not the Savior. And counselors that pray for them, pray with them instead of for them. And I don't think about it, because what's happening in the church is we're trying to get memberships. We're trying to grow the church.
Yep.
And when I think about this lesson today, I think about Lydia and what was happening here. Paul wasn't trying to grow a church.
Amen.
And if the preaching of the gospel don't do it, it can't be done.
Amen.
Lydia was a worshiper. The word of God said she was a worshiper. But she didn't know God. She didn't know God. She didn't know God in the Bible. Now, verse 11 talks about their plan of action. It said, therefore, losing from Troy, if we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Napoleon. And again, those are nautical words, I think the text was saying. I was, straight course, meaning the wind was behind them, and they got there in record time. I think somewhere it said they got there in 2 days. It was a 5-day trip, they got there in 2 days. Because God was in it. Okay. Verse 12. I'm just reading to get to where we're going to go. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And I talk about a colony being a free state. It was tax-free. If you were a Roman soldier, you didn't have to pay taxes. You just had to abide by Roman laws. But you didn't have to pay taxes. But you really just party. You really just party. It was just a good time. It was everything going on. And really, the Jews had been run out. They had been run out of that colony because of their worship of God. So verse 13 says, and on the Sabbath, Paul said they abided there in verse 12, certain days, watching what was going on, looking around, getting the mood of the city. And on the Sabbath, seventh day, we went out of the city by a river where prayer was wont to be made by the women there. This is where it gets interesting. Because we're going to talk about Lydia's conversion, and you have to line this up with yours if you've converted here. If you think you converted, if you think you're born again, if you know you're not, or if you know you are, this ought to be really interesting to you. Because it says that in a certain woman named Lydia. Lydia probably wasn't her real name. She's probably from the city Lydia. I think about this all the time. You meet people from, if you're out of town, you meet people from another city, you call them by their city's name. Okay, I hear a lot of inmates that call. They call another inmate clean or my town. It was just conversation. He was from Lydia. Okay, she was from Lydia. What does Lydia mean? She was a mourner. She was a beggar. She was a weeper. The word Lydia. And there was a certain woman named Lydia. She was a seller of paper purple. And I think about it, I wrote down on here. You look at Lydia, and almost like God has given her whole Facebook page. Everything she's about. Not only she was from Lydia, but she was a seller of purple. That's interesting. You ought to find every word interesting. Why would God add all this stuff about Lydia? Why is God talking about Lydia like this? First of all, she was a certain lady. She was particular. There was something special about Lydia. I'm not talking about she worked or she did anything to earn her heart being open. But she was called a certain woman. God had pointed her out. She was the seller of purple. Purple was a very expensive, whether it was fabric or dye, it was very expensive. So it was probably a real good chance Lydia was rich.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. She was from the city of Thyatira. And Thyatira was known for producing the purple ink and dye from the shellfish that they would crush to get it. She was very rich. And the word of God says in verse 14, still talking about Lydia, and this is where it gets interesting. It says, she worshiped God. Now, you guys have heard me say it many times. Hell is going to be full of folks that worship God. Okay? Worshiping God in Lydia's case means she was probably, how to say it, monolistic. I don't know if I said it right. They only believed in one God. And really what it's saying was she worshiped God. She refused to worship idols. She was not an idol worshiper. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that a person would prove that they weren't an idol worshiper, they would just worship one God. Mm-hmm. Sort of like Islam or Buddhism. Mm-hmm. They would be considered, we only worship one God. Monotheistic. There we go. Love you guys. That's why you're on my team. Heard us. Now me and Margaret went around that word when Margaret and I first met, when I first came to this church, we would talk about that word, heard. And Lydia, when they say heard, it doesn't mean she was sitting in the front. Okay? That word heard doesn't mean that Lydia was sitting up front and she heard better than anybody else. It means she understood.
Amen.
Not only did she understood, to understand, she wanted more. Okay? It says that she heard us. Who's the else here now? The crew. Paul, Silas, Timothy, and there was one more. I can't think of the name right now. Somebody, Silas. Did I say Silas? Okay. So it was a group of them, and they had sat down to speak to the women. They had sat down to speak to them. But Lydia heard something that the other ones wasn't hearing. She heard something that the other ones weren't hearing. Listen to what it says in verse 14. It says that Lydia heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. That's interesting. What was blocking her heart? Why couldn't she hear? Think about it. As I look around here today, and a lot of folks are here, and they're hearing me, but they're not understanding.
Amen.
A lot of them are right now texting and playing on their tablets. Lydia wasn't doing that.
Amen.
Lydia was listening. She wanted to learn more about this God that these strange creatures had came and proclaimed to her. Lydia understood the power of the heart. Paul, most likely, we're going to talk about what Paul preached to her, but when we think about the heart, and I think about Proverbs 4:23, Paul, it says, just keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart. For out of it spring the issues of life. What are the issues of life? Your emotions. Emotions can get us in trouble. Our desire to do things, our lack of determination or our determination can get us into some trouble.
Amen.
Keep your heart. Watch who you listen to.
Amen.
Pay attention to the things that you listen to, the people you hang out with.
Amen.
Understand Psalms 1 where it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Be careful. God opened her heart. All of us that are here, we're born with closed hearts. Some of us say, well, I was born saved. I was born right with God. That's not what the Bible says. There's not, the Bible says there's none righteous. No, not one. David said, I was born in trespasses and sins. Shaping, how's it go? In iniquity. Shaping in iniquity. And if you're born that way, something has to happen.
Amen.
One of the things I'm pretty sure Paul told Lydia when he was talking to her about the gospel is that, Lydia, listen, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the gospel.
Amen.
Everything we believe stands on that.
Amen.
People say, well, you know, I don't believe the gospel. I don't believe God had a son. Well, you deny the faith.
Amen.
If God don't have if you don't believe God has a son, then your whole foundation is shattered. What did Lydia hear? And the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So before God opened her heart, she had to hear something. And remember, go back to first coming down. What did Paul come to Macedonia to do? To preach the gospel. And we know what Paul preached. And if we've studied Paul, you got to know, I love Paul, but I'm almost certain that Paul took her straight to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I have it in my notes. It's one of my favorite verses. You guys have heard me read it many times. But Paul wouldn't have came there with a team of flag wavers and mimers and praise dancers, none of this stuff. We've seen this in Ruth. When Ruth was called in the wilderness, there was no fanfare.
Amen.
Paul when he came to the island of Philippi and said this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And he said, I, brother, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
And I was with you in how? In weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He would almost repeat that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, when Paul says in verse number 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you. Paul preached with an urgency, but he preached with an expectancy of change. Verse number 9 of 1 Thessalonians says, for they themselves show us what manner of enemy we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Lydia heard the gospel. She heard the gospel, and the gospel was preached to her, and Paul expected change. He was called to come there, and he knew he wouldn't come there for nothing. So when you look at verse number 14 again, it says a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. She heard it. She heard the gospel. It was preached to her, and the Bible says she repented. Where's that at, Pastor? Where's that at? That word attendant means that she changed. She changed her not only way of thinking, but she changed her way of living. You know, when you think about the rich, we think about the prodigal son. And a lot of people say, well, I'm repentant. And then they don't do nothing. Well, I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to stop smoking. Or I'm going to stop cussing. Or I'm going to, whatever it is. Whatever it is that we say we're going to stop. Lydia was about her business. Just like the prodigal son. When the prodigal son said, I'm going to rise up and go to my father's house. That's what he did. That's what he did. When we talk about it, he dropped the pail, jumped the rail, and hit the trail. Okay? And many of us here, we make these type of statements. Well, I'm gonna stop. And then we try to do it in our own strength. When God opened Lydia's heart, he filled her heart with the power of God. When we have the power of God working through us, we can do some things. And I think some of us, when we need to pray, when we pray for ourselves, that God will give me the power to stop doing this, or to start doing this, or to be better at doing this. I talked to Ray today. We were going to church today. You know, I'm going to pray, yes, that's God. Give you the power to do whatever you want to. You can do it. And you say it all the time, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But we don't step out on the faith that's necessary to do it. Lydia attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And that's where it has to be interesting. That, you know, the true believer has to say, well, what did Paul preach to her? Now, that's interesting because on the surface you would think this was a peaceful encounter. Compared to the woman with the issue of blood, this one might have been a peaceful encounter. See, God's going to get your attention. He can use sickness like he did with the woman with the issue of blood. He can exhaust all your resources and put you on deathbed until you have no other option but to look at God. He can bring a famine into your life. He can bring a famine into your life. He may lay off the whole company just to get you. He may bring a famine into the land like he did the prodigal son. Just get the prodigal son to turn and come home. He may. He may use a child like he had to do with Jairus to get Jairus to come to the Lord. He may bring earthquake into your life. Amen. Like he did to Jelly. Demon possession. He may bring demon possession in your life. Some of you are running around here acting crazy. Right now. Amen. And I say this in all honesty. If you're not possessed by the Holy Spirit, you're possessed by the evil spirit. They ain't but two spirits.
Amen.
You either possessed by the things of God, or you possessed by the things of the devil.
Amen.
Oh, Pastor. Listen.
Amen.
We talking about this lunatic right there. God has to deal with him to get him to come to Christ. He used blindness on blind Bartimaeus' part. He handicapped Jacob. Oh, Jacob the trickster.
Yeah.
He battled with an angel all night. When he got up from that battle, he walked with a limp the rest of his life. So we don't want to sit here and play with God. We know when God is calling us, He don't have to call us loudly. See, the further you get away from someone, the louder you got to call them. Well, Pastor, you know, you can follow God. You can love the Lord. You still have afflictions and troubles. Absolutely. Absolutely. The Bible said many are afflictions of the righteous. We know that.
Amen.
But you know what? I'd rather go through my afflictions knowing God on my side.
Amen.
Than go through my afflictions knowing God is against me. Because God's going to deal with all of us.
Amen.
He's going to deal with all of us. And we like Lydia today. We can say like David in Psalms 119. Open thou my eyes that I might behold the wondrous things out of thy law. We need to pray. We need to pray right now. Some of us are going through some stuff. 2 Corinthians 4. I thought this was really interesting. Because we don't know what's blocked. What blocked Lydia? Why did God have to open her heart? Look at 2 Corinthians 4. We're reading it in 4 and 6. You can write it down and read it later. But this is a fantastic scripture. Talking about a closed heart. It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Uh-huh. And listen here. Listen. Y'all pastor wasn't born saved. I'm not sitting up here trying to condemn anybody. But there's a time God had to come and do some restructuring of my life and break down some doors and some things that I battled with.
Amen.
And I'm not done battling. But God says here, in whom the God, little G, of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. If you hear today and you don't believe, you think standing for an altar call, or prayer, or reading scripture, or singing is foolishness, let me tell you something.
Amen.
The little G God that wants to drag your butt into hell has blinded your mind to believe not the things of God.
Amen.
Why does he do it? Why does Satan blind the minds of those who would not believe? Here's why. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. Here's what Paul said. For we preach not ourselves. Because I'm not doing this. I'm not preaching myself up here. Paul preaching. I'm not preaching myself. Okay? I'm not coming to you with excellent speech and wisdom of man. I'm preaching you the gospel. And you will have to answer. You have to deal with this. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. Why? For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Listen, you don't have to sit here and I have no idea how a lot of these charismatic preachers even open up anything Paul has written. Because it is so selfless.
Amen.
It is all about Jesus Christ. It's not about showmanship. It's not about stage presence. It's not. It's Paul just opened up the Word of God. And I'm pretty sure when he went to Lydia, they just got off ship. They didn't have showers. They didn't want shade. They probably looked dusty.
Uh-huh.
And they opened up the scriptures to these women. All with closed hearts. All Jewish proselyte. They believe in God. But not in Jesus Christ. Why did Luke give so much information about Lydia? Try to make a point. You know, some of us in here right now today just have enough wealth to keep us away from God. Some of us just have enough. And I know Jesus was talking to the disciples. And he said to them, he said, let me tell you something. Wealth is troubling. Okay? And by all standards, all of us are here wealthy. By all standards, I don't care how much money you make in here. You within the top 80% of the world.
Amen.
Okay? Some of us in here are just loaded with dough.
We just don't tap into it. Somebody should speak for yourself. I hear it. I'm wrong as a joke. Listen. Matthew 19, 24 says this, and again I say unto you, here's Lydia. I can imagine being with Paul. All the stories he shared. Imagine all the stories he shared. He probably told Lydia, listen, Lydia. There's a story about Matthew, a tax collector. He was rich. And God called him and he left everything. He probably told him about Zacchaeus, rich, up in the sycamore tree. Left everything. And then he probably told him about the rich young ruler. And Lydia probably struggled with some of the things that Paul was asking her to do, or some of the things that the gospel was commanding her to do. And just like us. Believe me, when God called me, it was just a bow face. I had to listen to some of this stuff. I had to really take to examine some of it. I had to count the cost. See, many folks don't count the cost. And they'll run down here, sit in the chair, and then you won't see them. They won't be baptized, and you got to call them up, make sure they don't come. You don't want to waste the water. Lydia was serious. And Paul most likely told her, sister Lydia, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It is hard. It is hard because it is costly. Being saved, serving God is not easy. I would never tell anybody that. I would never tell them, come to Jesus, everything will be fine. If you just want to be a worshiper. Mm-hmm. If you just want to belong to a church. Mm-hmm. But if you plan on being saved, and you plan on having your heart open to the things of God, it's going to cost you.
Amen.
And for those of us in here that know that, it's cost us.
Amen.
It has cost us.
Amen.
Lydia, what did you hear, Lydia? What did Paul preach to you? How did he brainwash you? I know some of us, I don't care, Jackie's people that are, Jake got you brainwashed. You was born a Catholic. You went to Mass every Saturday at 6 o'clock. Now you talk about a Christian. When you had that baby, who gonna think I'd sprinkle that baby?
Amen.
Dude, that's some heavy duty stuff. I didn't light up. But that's serious.
Uh-huh.
And if you talk to Jackie, she'll tell you, that's serious.
Uh-huh.
It's cost me something. Here's Paul. Paul said, this is Lydia. I'll preach this gospel because I'm not ashamed of it.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because I know what it can do. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. For everyone that believes. What did Paul preach? I'm going to say that so many times. I got 7 lessons he probably told Lydia. I don't think this was a one-day event. I think Lydia, when Lydia said, I want you to come to my house, she wanted more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the first thing he told her is repentance. He said, Lydia, you got a change of purpose. And some of us in here, today, we need repentance. And repentance is not something you can generate on your own. It is miraculous. It is a something that is given to you by the Holy Spirit. Someone says, I can't stop doing it. Well, you can.
Amen.
You can.
Mm-hmm.
Repentance is a change of purpose. A change of purpose. I like this. Somebody wrote, repentance is a change of mind powered by the Holy Spirit and shown in action. Let me say that again. Repentance is a change of mind powered by the Holy Spirit and shown in action.
Amen.
Think about that. You want to change? You tired of being a certain way? Can you ask God to fill you with the Spirit and give me some power to do your work? You can't do God's work without the Holy Spirit. And then you wonder why, we got so much stuff going on in church and folks coming into church with all kinds of stuff. Because we try to entertain folks to heaven. I'm going to dance. The dance team, I got a letter today from Union Baptist Church. They have a praise and dance and flag waving workshop. Because, and I know somebody might be, we got to get the kids, Listen, kids going to get saved the same way adults. They're going to get saved the same way as an adult. You go talk to Daniel and the three Hebrew boys, they heard the gospel.
Amen.
There was no youth ministry. They didn't go to camp and all that stuff.
Amen.
They heard the word of God.
Amen.
When we pray for our kids, we need to pray. God, open their hearts.
Yes.
Give them a heart for the things of God.
Amen.
Let them know how serious it is. You don't have to get all scarred up.
Amen.
Some of us get all scarred up before we came to the Lord. You young people got a chance to serve God at an early age. And have to go through all this mess.
Amen.
You don't have to. You're raising 3-4 kids by yourself and 3 different dads and STDs and all that. You ain't got to go through all that.
Amen.
Put money in a kiosk machine at a prison for your boy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have to go through it.
Amen.
Pray that your God will open your children's hearts. Give me strength. Salvation. You need to be saved. Well, I'm a worshiper of God. No. You need to be saved. There's a difference between being a worshiper of God and being saved.
Yeah.
So you can be a worshiper of God and be still dead in your trespasses and sins.
Amen.
And you come to church every day.
Uh-huh.
Y'all know, first of all, give an honor to God in the head of my life. Means nothing.
Amen.
If your heart has been opened. If you haven't been saved, look at Ephesians 2, 6 and 8. He says that, and even when we were dead in our sins, have you quickened us together with Christ. And have raised us up together. That's a change of position. He has raised us up together. You were dead, and now you talk about resurrection power.
Mm-hmm.
Lydia, listen, you worship God, but you worship in a dead God.
Uh-huh.
You worship in the wrong God.
All right, amen.
And he said, you need to be justified. He probably taught her the doctrine of justification. And not only a change in position or a change in purpose. Look at the third one, a change in your conditions or your state. Paul says in Romans 5, he said, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're not in God's will, you're not at peace with God. And I think this is one of the reasons why, and Claire talks to me all the time, and she, you need to talk to my brother, and he needs to be justified. He needs salvation. He needs to repent. He needs to have peace with God. If you're out of God's will, you don't have peace with God. You just don't have peace with God. You need a new family.
Amen.
I thought about that. Then talk Ephesians and Ephesians 1. We spend so much time in Ephesians. Y'all know I love Ephesians. And Ephesians 1:5 says, you got to change the family. Think about it. He said, having predestined us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. You know what? You go from being a child of the devil to a child of God. Now, I don't care how good you was before you got saved, you were still a child of the devil.
Amen.
You were a child of the devil until you were adopted into family.
Amen.
And when you adopt somebody into family, all the family members might not like you. But when they read the will, got to get it. Where's mine? Because you're part of the family. And you can't unadopt somebody. That's a word. Unadopt. I ask you what I've done. Listen. Redemption. And Lydia couldn't get enough. She wanted Paul to say, Paul, come in my house and abide in my house. I want my whole family to be saved. And then that comes with it. If you're saved in here, you know what your whole family you have, then you probably don't have what you think you have.
Let me say that again. If you say you want everybody in your family
Amen.
To have what you have,
Amen.
Okay? And you're going to plead with them, and you're going to beg with them, and if the man of God comes on the scene, is preaching the gospel message, please, you got to come to my house and preach to my children. Preach to my servants, preach to my neighbors, preach to my co-workers. Or come to my house and abide with me and give me all the knowledge that I need so I can go out and do it. I think that's what Lydia was doing when she said, the Bible said in verse 15, and she constrained us. She just begged us to come. Redemption. Being redeemed. We know what we talk about it. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Listen, you can't get to heaven if you haven't been redeemed.
Amen.
Okay? You have to be redeemed. This is what we talk about this morning, Deacon Oliver. Redemption. In Ephesians 1 and 7. In whom we have redemption. How do we get it? Lydia, here's what you need. You talk about a God that has no son. Here's what you need. You need to be redeemed. How, Paul, how do I get redeemed? You get redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Okay.
By the blood of the Lamb. Oh, this has to be interesting, Lydia. And when we have redemption through his blood, there's only one way. This is what John was writing in John 14:6 when he said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man or woman or Muslim or Jehovah's Witness or Catholic or you name it. I'm not going that far. But here's what I'm saying. You know, and you cannot get to heaven by your prayers going up to any other deity.
Amen.
Jesus, I'm the way. I died, not Mary,
Amen.
Not Allah, not Joseph Smith, down the list, sanctification. How am I doing? Sanctification. It is a change of life. A change of life. People are not sanctified. Really? Have your life been changed? Since you got saved, have you changed?
Amen.
Are you growing in godliness and holiness day by day?
Amen.
Sanctification now one time thing. Are you growing? I listen to the choir. Don't they sound better than they sound when they first started? Not that they didn't sound okay. But they sound better and better because they're growing.
Amen.
They're growing. They're starting to sing. They're learning how to conduct themselves at choir rehearsal and how to sing their part. They're getting better. They're getting stronger. Their voices are getting stronger. As a believer, you ought to get stronger every day.
Amen.
Every day. You ought to get stronger. You ought to be better than you were a year ago. Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. He said, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, for your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that word preserved means sealed. That's where we get this whole thing. You know what? Once saved, always saved.
Amen.
Once saved, always preserved. And you know what the key is? And y'all know what I'm going to say. You make sure you got Christ there.
Yeah.
If Lydia would have died a worshiper, she wouldn't have had the right stuff. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a whole lot of folks show up at the Super Bowl with tickets they bought on eBay. They're going to get to the ticket counter with their ticket for eBay, and they're going to find out they got bamboozled.
Amen.
Okay. I don't want you to be in the wrong line. I don't want you to get turned away. My preacher didn't talk to me about salvation. He never preached to me about justification. He never said anything about being adopted or redeemed or sanctified. We had good times. Mm-hmm. I was on the praise team. not the baddest mimer in town. He wasn't.
No. No, that's all good. But you got to be repentant. You got to know you're saved. You need to know you're saved. Now, let me stay on that. If you got a cold, you know you got a cold. Nose is running. Say if you got the flu. Let me take that. You got it. Body hurting. Feel weak. Nose is running. Head hurt. Go to the doctor. You got the flu. And just like you know you got the flu, you know you're saved. You know you're saved. When did you get saved? I don't know. I know I'm saved, but what happened? What happened when you got saved? I don't know. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. How's this one line up with you? Romans 12, 1. Talk about consecration. Paul said these things ought to happen. You ought to sit here and understand. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body what? A living sacrifice. Holy. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I like verse number 2. Because Lydia was a business lady. She was a seller of purple. She was rich. It was unusual for women to travel in those days. So she was a trendsetter. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What does the work of God look like in a believer's life? Someone whose heart has been opened. Okay, we talk about baptizing some folks. Okay. Hope you can identify with some of these things. If you've been baptized, you should be able to identify with these things because you've been born again. And being baptized is just basically a public confession that I'm a child of God. I'm not the person I used to be. I'm different. I've been born again. I'm saved. Okay? I understand repentance. I understand salvation. I've been justified. I've been adopted. I'm in a new family. I've been redeemed. I am living a sanctified life. I am growing in godliness. And then I am consecrated to God. I'm different. So are you born again? Have your heart been open? Do you boldly identify with Christ? Does your friends know? Your schoolmates know? Your classmates know? Your neighbors know? Your co-workers know? This person is saved. You'll be born again. These people come to you when they have adversity and a crisis. They come to you and say, can you come on, please come. Come pray with me. I'm going through. Are you undercover? Are you an undercover brother? Undercover sister, you walking around, you got your fatigues on. You standing there, everybody know. I don't want nobody to know I'm a Christian. You know, there was a story, I told this before. I'm starting to, maybe I'm only going to be able to do 7 years. I can preach the whole Bible. I got to go. My story's starting to repeat. Right? But don't worry, I heard this one. There was a guy at work, serious story. He went to work and he worked his apartment, he worked by himself, and he had no problem. They switched him. And he found out where he was going, so Lord have mercy. Everybody up there, they watched naked pictures, and they got naked pictures, and they cussing and swearing, and drinking and acting a fool up there, and they find out that I'm a Christian. They're gonna ridicule me, they're gonna mock me, they're gonna laugh at me. He went home and told his wife. He told his wife, honey, the worst thing that ever happened, they just moved me to the apartment where Jake and Dave work at. She said, honey, you'll be alright, just go to work and just be yourself. And he went to work and he came home, he was just bummed. He said, honey, I'm home. She said, how was your day? They never found out that I was a Christian. Yep. That's us. And we wonder why we look around, we got seats empty and churches and we're growing because we're not growing. We're not growing. We're not telling anybody about Jesus. We, you know, because if we tell them about Jesus, they're going to sit there and say, Amen, Gabby. Listen. Second thing we see about Lydia in her conversion is she just insisted these missionaries stay in her home. Come stay with me. How you feel about that? Could a preacher come live with you for a little while? How would that change your life if you brought the gospel home and stayed with you? Think about that. Remember Zacchaeus? He came when they came home, they came to his house, he had all the numbers slipped all over the place. High lotteries, receipts. And he knew it too. He said, listen, hold, before you say about Jesus, if I owe anybody, I'll pay them back, and if I stole anything, that's what happens when God comes into your home.
Ooh, amen.
Things change. Listen,
I know, I
ain't watching that. And the kids are watching that, you know. And Jesus won't get on your computer. Okay, he wants your phone, he wanna check your phone out, see where you've been going on the phone, different things like that. It changed Zacchaeus, and it has to change you. And then we have to be public about it. We have to be public about it. You know, we can't be embarrassed believers.
Amen.
We have to be proud and we have to stand for what we believe. And we have to understand something else. It's going to hurt. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be mocked. I just give you the business. I don't want you to think you can do this and be undercover. I really don't. I don't want you to think you can do this and nobody know.
Amen.
And nobody know. Look at Acts 16:40. I'm gonna close. Because I believe Lydia's conversion was the start. Everybody there was surprised. They would say, Lydia, you gotta be kidding me. She saved? I think she would have been the last one that they'd have thought about ever getting saved. But I thought this was interesting because in verses 16 through 40. Paul and then cast a demon out of a girl, and they've been in prison, they've been in shackles, they've been beaten, they've been in an earthquake, and they didn't turn the whole city upside down. And look at verse number 40. Lydia was in it. She was serious about it. There was no shame. She wasn't ashamed of Paul. She wasn't worried about the persecution she was going to get from being associated with Paul. I honestly have folks on my job that don't want to be bothered because they know I'm a man of God. Now, in private, they'll talk to me. But when a lot of people around, they're not going to come over and shoot the breeze with me. Look at verse 40. Paul and them got out of prison. They got out of prison for tearing up the city. And they went out of prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. You know, and again, my point is this. Lydia wasn't a stony ground hearer. When the sun came up and the trials came up, she didn't bust and tuck her tail and hide. She stood and she took it.
Amen.
She was a woman of God. And there's great lessons that we can find in Lydia's conversion. But I think the question that has to be asked of our hearts been open. And if your heart here, if you're here today, you're a worshiper, you show up and you do a lot of things for the church and you tithe and you give and you help out in different things, you're on the kitchen committee and all that. But the question you have to ask yourself, has my heart been open? Has my heart been open to receive the things of God? That's true conversion. And what the church is, I find fault is we try to fill the churches. And we're not trying to fill people's hearts.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the testimony of Lydia and her faithfulness and the fact that Paul didn't open her heart. She didn't decide for herself. I'm going to make a decision for Christ. I'm going to give my life to the Lord. She heard the word of God. And God opened her heart to understand the things of God. And then Lydia told Paul, if you judge me, come abide in my house. Lydia wanted to be examined. She wanted to be tested. She wanted to make sure that she had the right stuff. Folks, time is late. Tomorrow's not guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make sure that we have the right stuff. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.